Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Green Mountain Dental Group. We've had several DNVR listeners switch over to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years and make them their permanent family dentist. Those listeners have personally reached out and let us know how great their experience was and have thanked us for leading them to such a wonderful practice. There's honestly nothing more rewarding than hearing that from our listeners, so please tell us about your experience if you made the switch. If you don't know, Green Mountain Dental Group is in Lakewood, and they're the best damn family-owned dentist in the metro area, as well as extreme Colorado sports fans just like us. So head on over to Green Mountain Dental Group today and schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam to get yourself a free Sonicare toothbrush. DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts. I'm your host, Rudo, joined as always by AJ Hafley. And we've finally done it, folks. We've finally gone back to the hockey rink to watch Colorado Avalanche players. It happened today. We were there. It's been a hot minute since we've done that.
How nice was it that we were all allowed at the rink together instead of being like, okay, who is the chosen one for today?
Only you may go.
We all got to go, including Evan.
Yep, all three of us were there catching some Avs prospect development camp. So it was a good time. We'll get into a bunch of our angles on it, I am sure. So it should be a fun show. We're gonna have to get it in here. Broncos kick off in about 45 minutes. So might be a quick one for you, but yeah, I mean. Let's get into it. I think it is a pretty interesting development camp for the Avs this year, right? Like, there are quite a few names to watch this time around.
I told you we were maybe 30 minutes into the first session in the morning, and I said, we might not ever get to see a dev camp like this again.
Yep.
Where there are maybe 8 guys that you could talk yourself into possibly playing in the NHL this year.
Yeah.
If you stretch it a little bit to guys like Jean-Luc Foudy, where it's like
some injuries crop up or something.
Catastrophe has taken place and he gets the call up. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's deep, particularly on that forward side. I mean,
yes. And that's the number one thing that I will start with that we get into is that you and I did not spend much time with the defenseman today.
Evan was watching the defenseman. Check out, I don't know when, I'm sure your piece will go up tonight or something, AJ, with our round table. So
yeah,
Evan's thoughts on the defense, we'll get in that one if you're interested in that stuff. We're going to mostly be talking about the forwards, maybe a little bit of goaltender stuff too, but
just straight up like Byram, Barron.
Yep.
Like Klerman was also present, but
Klerman existed, but that's a long conversation with a long road to go yet.
Yeah. So we took the day to focus specifically on the guys up front.
Would have liked to see Baron, but Byram, do you need to see him? Not really.
Physically, he looks like he's continued to take it seriously.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's probably a good place for us to start, really.
Yeah. The size of some of these kids. Yep.
Yeah. It was maybe the only area in which Alex Newhook did not stand out today.
Yeah.
He did not look like he was particularly increased in capacity.
He looked the same size he did at the end of last year, I think.
The one guy that I will say looked really filled out compared to the last time I saw him was Shane Bowers. We sat down and I immediately was like, Shane Bowers looks like a man.
Yeah.
And he's always been tall,
yep,
but he's always been kind of lanky. And the big question was, can he put on that man strength and continue to, because that was an important component of why he's continued to languish in the AHL, is that there were some on ice things that they wanted to see, but they also really wanted to see him add some weight.
Yeah.
And mission accomplished there. He did that.
No kidding. He looks solid. It's kind of crazy. The Avs have a number of significantly sized human beings in this prospect pool. You just mentioned Bowers. Sampo Ranta is a physical monster.
He is. I put the tweet out there today that if you didn't know anything about any of these guys coming in, and you would try to order them just by looking at them and say, which of these guys were taken first?
Yep.
Sampo Ranta would have been
the pick. Yeah.
Yeah. He would have been based the only on today guy
alone. Yeah.
Yeah. He would have been the only guy that that Newhook that pushed Newhook.
Yep.
Agreed. In any way. And Newhook, like, we'll get there. But
yeah.
Sampo physically looked great today. And like, this is always the kind of setting where a guy like Ranta is going to stand out because he's big.
He's drill, don't have to think.
he gets to just north, south, just do whatever's being asked of him. And all of the tools, because we've always talked about this with him, all of the tools just shine. When you see him on the ice, it pops. It makes sense. It works. You look at him and you're just like, my goodness. So Sampo looked great today. He really did.
I agree.
Just physically, he looked exactly like what you want him to look like, just given who he is as a player. And then, you know, the individual skills and all of that certainly popped for him today. He had a very good day. He had a very good start to what's an important but not like critical preseason for him.
It's not, you know, his career isn't over if he struggles or anything, but
he has
the opportunity to set himself up as a legitimate call-up if he plays well.
You compare his situation to that of Bowers. Bowers needs this.
Yep.
This has to go very well for him. He can't look okay. He's got to be great this week.
Yep.
At Dev Camp
and
at
the tournament,
at the rookie face-off in Arizona, he has to be great.
Yep.
This has to go very, very well for Shane Bowers. And for Sampo, he's not at that point in his career. He's got just a handful of pro games under his belt. He's just getting going.
Yep.
But today was a good start for the big fella.
Agreed. I think they're really going to like what they saw out of him today.
Man, I don't know how you could look at that and be like,
meh.
Oh, yeah. We totally have a problem with the drafting in the last couple of
right.
years. That guy... What I really liked is that this was the guys that you're expecting to look good were all big guys.
Mm-hmm.
Newhook is the smallest of them,
yep,
but also looked the best of them. But size wise, this is a decent sized group.
Yeah.
That really, we haven't even mentioned Olausen yet, who he's pretty lanky, but he's got the height for sure. Yeah,
we'll get there. I'm going to be the negative Nancy on him today.
I know. I think I liked his day more than you did, but we'll get there again.
Yeah, I think we'll have a good discussion about it.
Yeah. So we'll stick with group one first here, which was Bowers, Ranta, and Wingerly mostly, as far as bigger names.
So Andreas Wingerly.
Yeah.
He's real small.
He is
like
small.
We rolled in with expectations of him being small. He's listed at 5'8".
He's not 5'8", man.
Evan put this out after seeing him skate with the NHL team last week. He said, if that guy's 5'8", they're doing him a favor listing him at that. I don't think he's 5'8".
Yeah.
He was standing next to 6'3" Ryan Hofer, and we were like, is that his little brother that he brought to the rink with him? And then you watched him in skating drills, and all of a sudden you start to see it where you're like, come on, how are you going to justify a guy this tiny?
Then the agility comes out.
And the agility was very noticeable, something you and I remarked on immediately. It's very smooth.
Yep.
And this wasn't a day where guys got to really cut loose.
Open it up, yeah.
And get up and down the ice. Yeah. It was a lot of half ice stuff.
Yep.
It's really quarter ice stuff because it's not even – they didn't even get out to the blue line. It was face-off circle in it.
Yep.
And – they were doing a lot of they did a lot of putting guys on their backhands, making them skate, you know, the direction that they're, you know, into their backhand where they're comfortable, and forcing them to receive passes on the backhand and make passes on the backhand. And you see, like, guys obviously don't do a lot of that, and so it's a situation designed to make guys look bad.
Yeah,
right. And Wingerly looked good.
Yes.
He looked very, very, very solid. And
second half of group one, too, he finally got into a drill where he was allowed to shoot and started snapping them off, man.
Yeah, and especially when you get a goalie in there, because when guys are wiring pucks without goalies in there, you're like,
cool. Does this mean anything? Yeah.
Unless it's like Ranta had some
absolute missiles.
Yeah, had some lasers where it was just like, Jesus, what is this? No, the camps, Randy, if you're asking about the camps and stuff, they are not broadcast anywhere.
Yep, it's in person only.
I could probably try to like Periscope stream it, but the Wi-Fi at FSC is notoriously bad, and it probably won't go well. But I'll tell you, tomorrow, first session, I'll try and stream it for you guys and see how it goes.
Be watching about 7 pixels of a practice. Yeah.
I don't think it'll go very well, but we can definitely try it for you guys. There's 3 of us there. We can give it a whirl.
Yep. See how it goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, Wingerly, I came away from today's session with Wingerly saying, I want to see this dude in game situations.
Yep. 100%. And that's a good thing, because some of these guys you get them in these drills and you're just like, okay, like there were some guys today, and I really don't like being overly negative on guys in camps like this. So I'm not going to call them out, but there were some guys today who did not have good days.
They struggled. Yeah.
And they need to be better than that tomorrow. There's no way you can be in an NHL team's dev camp and have the kind of day that some of those kids had.
It was bad.
Yeah. One of them in particular, I was just like, oh my God. Like Sean Allaire needs to pull this guy aside and just be like, just breathe, dude. We know you're way better than this. We've seen it. We trust this.
Yep.
Just breathe. You're way overdoing this.
Yep.
And it was encouraging. Most of the guys that you wanted to see, you came out of there feeling like, I'm real intrigued by what I have to see right here.
Let's see some more. Yeah.
And there were a couple of guys that we don't know shit about that came out of nowhere.
Yep.
That
had some solid days.
That had days where it was like you, I want to see this guy in a game setting. Ryan Hofer is a guy that I really want to see in a game setting after today.
Yep.
He's lanky. He's 6'3". He's got a sneaky little shot when he gets behind it. Not a lot of puck skill. You could see he was really struggling.
Fighting it for sure.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Pfizer, I didn't.
He kind of got lost in the middle a little bit.
I was kind of iffy on him. I really liked the one drill where he just kept ringing it off the post.
He hit like three in a row.
Yeah. I kind of felt bad because it was like right post, left post, and then he had to go in front of the net, and then he deflected one home. And I was like, he definitely earned that. That was probably the highlight for him, but I did not really like the rest of his day. It wasn't bad. It just didn't. I didn't think it stood out. And a guy like that has to really stand out.
Yeah.
The ATO type guys, the guys that are just getting looks. But I came out of that thinking Ryan Hofer.
Stick that dude in front of the net and see what happens.
I want to see how he uses the size in games.
Yep.
A guy coming from the MJHL. You have no expectations. So yep. I'm just curious, more curious than anything else. The lack of puck skill standing out even in a camp like this is problematic for trying to project a pro player, but it was interesting. I really, that first group, Ranta dominated it.
Yep.
I thought he did everything well. Physically, there was that one time that Shane Bowers kind of lunch moneyed him a little.
Yeah, and I didn't mind it that much. Like,
no,
I do think on the drills they did too. Like Ranta was physically engaged on their board drills and stuff like that. So, didn't bother me too much because, I mean, those are the types of things where if you can get Ranta to engage physically on a consistent basis, that dude's an NHLer. You'll find a way to use that guy. Like, mm-hmm. It's not complicated.
Yep.
So, agreed. I think Ranta really did lead that one. And Bowers was very solid, too. We've said this for 3 years running now. You see Bowers in camp, and you're like, that dude has NHL polish. It looks ready. So
the thing with Bowers, very, very frustrating that we're not seeing it in the NHL because if you look at his size and today you look at especially the strength that he added, you look at his skating, it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's not like incredible, blow your mind, but it's all technically sound. It's all just good.
Yep.
He had good coaching. He took to it growing up and it's very clean. It's very smooth. He's always been a good skater. He's fast. He didn't get to showcase that today, but we know he has that. He's the skill level has always been the question. He's smart. He's got good details, good understanding of the details of the game. You see him in a thing like this, and you're just like, this is an NHL player. What are we doing here? It really just drives home how far down on that depth chart he is, and he shouldn't be. To be honest, it's annoying
on the door. Yeah,
it's annoying that they're about to give in when training camp rolls around. They're about to give ice time and looks to a guy like Artem Anisimov when
Bowers, it's like it's right there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like at this point in their careers, you want to see what one of them has. Like, come on now. Yep. So and I don't and I know like there are going to be some people listening to this that just roll their eyes and they're like, you two are at this again. But. You know, we saw him today, and when you see a guy like this in person and you watch a camp like this, it does make you wonder, like, what's the issue here? What's going on here? Because it's not like he's a dominant AHL player, but he never is going to be.
It's never the role you even got him to play in the first place. Right?
It wasn't why he was drafted in the first round by Ottawa. It wasn't like Ottawa thought he was going to be a top six center. He was drafted, and everybody understood this is a guy that's going to be a really smart 3C type of guy for you.
Yep.
Now, 1, 2, 3, go. Why are they waiting for him to dominate the AHL for this? So He needs to build off of today, and continue to show out. He has to. There can be no let up in Shane Bowers. This was the kind of day that he needed on day one.
And but every day has to be like this.
He's got to get, and he has to get a little better than this too. In order to really make the statement,
pushing to like New Hook levels of domination. I agree.
Absolutely.
Which we'll get to that in a minute. But first, hit up Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Got myself a little Strawberry Sky right here. Absolutely delicious beer. Check that out. You can get it on tap down at the DNVR bar. A bunch of other beers as well. Every single one they make is delicious. Highly recommend all of them, to be honest. You can also get their Good Company Hard Seltzer at your local liquor stores near you. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it and go pick yourself up some beer so you can sit at home, watch the football games, and win some money with DraftKings Sportsbook. I got a little bet on the Broncos today, a parlay, low-scoring game, Broncos win. That's what I went with because DraftKings had a little odds boost for any same-game parlay. You get your money back up to $25 if your bet loses. So it's like getting a free bet. I went with the Broncos on that one. Jump on over to DraftKings Sportsbook. You can get great deals too. If you still bet today on a football game with a new account, you still have time. Set up your account, use code DNVR, bet $1, and they will give you $200 in free bets immediately. So just go make a new account right now. Go place a bet. Even if you don't care about football, just put a dollar in, make the bet, get $200 in free bets to play with on whatever you want to bet on. It's just that easy. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DNVR when you sign up to get that amazing $200 deal. The DraftKings Sportsbook app is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Free bet promotion for new customers only. Minimum deposit of $5. Max wager limits apply. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I do want to round out group one before we start getting into group two. AJ, I know he was your boy from the draft. What'd you think of Foodie?
Honestly, I didn't very much.
Yeah, he blended in quite a bit today. Just kind of really in the background.
A little disappointing because you expect him in skating drills to stand out more than he did.
Yeah,
but the kind of skating that he really goes
again, they didn't really open it up today.
Yeah, but that's the when you get into open ice, and I think that's where we're gonna see Wingerly really go look good too, is that when they get into open ice. Foodie was okay. There were some good and some bad.
Yeah,
but there really wasn't much that I had a problem with. It was mostly just that he did not separate in a way that I was hoping he would.
The shot needs work.
Yeah, and like there was very limited shooting today. There were really only three guys whose shots I was like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
Throughout the day.
Yeah.
In both groups. There were some one-offs, like Nick Henry, of course, can wire pucks. Like
always has been able to, yeah.
Nick Henry has an NHL shot.
He just doesn't have all the other stuff.
Yeah. Boy. It was rough to see that his skating is still where it is.
Yeah, it was tough.
You know, after, you know, he's tough to turn pro when he did too. And just the experience that he's gone through, it's, you know,
very couple of muddled years, no doubt about it.
Yeah, real tough. But like one or two pucks here or there, you know, like were impressive. But otherwise, I wasn't not many. Like it was like Sampo, especially.
Yeah.
And then obviously New Hook was insane. And then
literally everything he did was just bonkers.
But the other guy who shot, I thought really jumped out to me today was Sasha Mutala.
Yep. He had a 4 or 5 drill stretch where he just.
There was a holy shit stretch from Mutala today. It was definitely with Foodie though. The shot, like he has a bad shot right now. Like let's be real, he's not a good shooter.
Yep.
But it was it was just okay in terms of the dexterity and agility stuff that they did today. Mm-hmm. Not as comfortable as I would have liked to have seen him on some of his edges. A little shakier, but he also has higher expectation because he's always been so good.
You expect perfection out of him, basically. Yeah, yeah.
It's a little unfair because his expectation is way up here.
Yep.
And then he was like right here. Whereas still
a way better skin than most of the dudes here. But
whereas like all the other guys are like down here, and Fudi's still way better, but your expectation for him was just so high.
Yeah.
And again, like we stress the kind of skating in which he is breathtaking at, they did not do today.
Yep.
So it was not a day of playing to his strengths. For him not to have stood out is not a huge surprise, but is what it is. And that's always that, like, the context is always insanely important at these camps. Our takeaways, these things, look, it's because people ask, they want to know how we feel about how guys looked, but these are not things that you make deep cases for,
right?
Except in a case where it's like a guy like Bowers, who is in make or break territory in his career, who has to do this at a high level.
These are takeaways from a practice where all they did was drills for about 45 minutes to an hour and a half.
Yep.
So don't take anything as gospel here, is all I'm saying. There's plenty more to come, not only in camp, in the rookie tournament, but then preseason as well. You're going to see a whole lot more of these guys.
Yeah.
So,
and what's great about these camps is that you're going to see them in a lot of different situations, building up to game situations, which obviously everything then goes out the window and you're like, all right, well, this now guy did all these drills well. How does he do in a game? Because there are guys who look good in these camps every single year.
And they're a ghost. Yep.
You get into a game situation and you're like, so this is why he's 22 and went undrafted.
Yep.
I get it.
It adds up sometimes.
This is why he's been in the ECHL for 2 years. Like stuff like that where it clicks, where you're like, oh.
All right. Did I forget anyone in group one that we really want to talk about?
Yeah, unfortunately, again, did not really watch the defense, so I don't have anything to say about Byram and Barron.
I don't think, like, the thing is, I don't think there is anything to say about Byram, right?
Yeah, Byram doesn't need to be at this.
Yeah, this is
just flat out
100% a tune-up for him, and that's that. Barron, I would have loved to watch, but the way the Avs do it is they have both rinks going at the same time, defense on one, forwards on the other, so you got to pick and choose.
Yep, and, like, unfortunately, the forward group is just more loaded with guys.
Yep. There's three or plus dudes to watch in every forward group. So,
yeah. And it's just so tomorrow we'll look. I will definitely put eyes on the defense more than I did today. Today it was just I wanted to look at it.
Yep. So that's more or less group one. Group two, where do you want to start with group two? Should we just get Newhook out of the way?
Let's get Newhook out of the way because Newhook probably looked as good as anybody has in the history of Avs dev camp. And that's not a super impressive statement because dev camp has not been going on for very long. It's only the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
And a guy, I know there will be some people like, what about Kyle McCarr? Kyle McCarr's first dev camp was not very impressive. There were, when they were doing drills and stuff, he didn't do much. Yeah. And then it was during the 3-on-3 half ice where he started teleporting. He was
like murdering people.
And you were like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This is insane. This took a whole different turn.
Yeah.
But it took until that. That was like the second or third day of stuff that they did. It took until that for you to see it from McCarr.
The inverse of what we were just talking about with guys who look good in drills.
Yes. Exactly. And then, but Newhook today did everything at a high level.
Yep.
Everything at a high level. He looked great.
It was beyond. Not only was he doing the drills extremely well, he would do that one extra step, right? Like he'd add an extra move or he'd add an extra skate.
They were working on a puck protection drill and they had a guy like lightly defending him.
Yep.
And it happened to be poor Jack O'Brien this time. And Newhook like cut inside of him and then just gave him the FU stick lift while he was protecting the puck.
Yep.
entirely because he could. Nobody else did it. Nobody else tried it. Nobody else wasted time with it. And he did it. And I thought he was going to break O'Brien's stick because he
whacked it, man.
Yeah, it was not a half-hearted attempt. He got it. And I think that kind of set the – I think what Alex Newhook did today was set the tone and said, yep, I don't need to be here. These guys are all scrubs. I'm about to show out, and I am gearing up for a huge preseason.
Yep.
I am going to win an NHL job, and I am never looking back. I am never doing this go to Arizona and play a bunch of nobody's bullshit ever again. This is the last time I ever participate in anything like this.
Yep.
He set the tone of, I am done. See you, nerds.
See you, nerds is exactly correct. He was a man on a mission today, and yeah, he looked great at everything.
It was everything. It was every drill. It was, oh, hey, we're going to put you on your backhand, and you're going to be skating in a direction, you know, and doing crossovers in the inverse of what you normally do. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it perfectly, and I'll do it perfectly every time. There were no puck fumbles. There were he didn't have any problems with errant passes, pulling them from his feet into his stick. He didn't have any of these issues.
Yep.
There were other guys who it's one of the things that you always look for at a camp like this is, how do they handle tape to tape passes? And then how do they handle
poor passes?
How do they adjust on the fly? And it just straight up looked like they brought an NHL player into this to show everybody else
exactly what it should look like. Like, if you asked people who didn't know the team, there was one NHL player there today who wasn't. Every single person would say Newhook.
Yep.
By like a lot.
It was very, 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 very obvious that Alex Newhook just was better than everybody present.
Yep.
By a wide margin. Alex Newhook looked exactly like what you want first round picks to look like in a setting like this, where you're just like, well, the tools are all there and he uses them really well. Okay.
That easy.
Yep. It was, and obviously, like we talked, like game situations, like we'll see, you'll see how it goes. Well, you know, I'm sure he's not going to go out and score 15 points this weekend or anything.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Gonna play in one game, so
like we'll see how it goes. We'll just see whatever happens. But just from a pure handling the drills and doing what he did today, Alex doing for my money, he can just take the week off. Yeah. He doesn't need to be here.
An NHLer for real. Just signed, sealed, delivered.
Yeah.
So easily the best player of the day in my book. But again,
oh yeah.
Should he even be here?
Fair enough. It was exactly what you wanted. So from Newhook's, from the perspective of Newhook, like no concerns whatsoever.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Should we hit? Should we hit our other first rounder here in Olausen?
Yeah, that's fine. We can get into this.
All right, we'll do that before we hit our break. So. Obviously, first time seeing Olausen in an actual Avs event here. First impressions, he's a very tall human being.
But he came onto the ice and it was like, look at those legs.
Yeah.
This dude is so lanky.
But
there's
also
a lot of him.
He's also pretty skinny too, though, right now. So, gonna have to fill it out. But yep. That will come with some time, no doubt about that. So getting into what he did on the ice, I liked his skating. I thought, at least in the just raw skating drills, I thought it was pretty darn good, especially for someone his size.
It started off kind of iffy, but then he also had a skate issue. And when they went and they took care of the skate,
he was gliding pretty good after that.
Did not have any issues after that. And like Rudo and I were like joking around, like sure, it's the skate matter. But it like after he got the skate looked at, he no longer had the same struggles he did before he got it looked at. So whatever was wrong, he was clearly right about. There was something up with the skate. Yeah. So I retract giving him a hard time.
Well, I mean, I think
it was funny.
You can give him a little bit of a hard time because it wasn't just him. It was him and a couple of other guys in this group. you're 20, 25 minutes into drills, and they go for a break, and they were struggling with the altitude a little bit, I think.
Yeah. The one of the guys that I'm just totally unfamiliar, Kislik.
Yeah. He was
Kislik and Olausen were leaning on the board. Everybody else was like getting water and doing their thing. Those two dudes were like
sucking air.
Yeah. They were like, why do people live here? This is atrocious. It was pretty funny though.
Yeah. So
just look, that you guys remember a couple years ago when Martin Kaut like laid down on the ice.
Was totally gassed.
Yeah. It turned into like a thing with the media for a day. Really bizarrely.
Yeah, that I and if you like panned out the shot, there were like four other dudes doing the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So like these and that was the, like the, back then that was after actual conditioning work and he was just gassed.
Yeah.
Olausen today, it was a little disappointing that he ran out of steam as quickly as he did, but it was also like, look, this is a normal thing for this. Dude, we see guys struggle with this
a day. Probably never been at altitude like this before, really, to play.
Yeah.
So, but
we see that stuff happen. So don't want to make too much of the conditioning. No. Really is not what my issue was today.
No, I know what's coming here, but go off.
So, and this is not so much of like a he's lazy or the motor like he's a low effort player or anything like that. Right. I wanted to see him, and especially the second half of the forward drills where they got a lot more competitive and physical. I wanted to see him use his size, and I wanted to see him battle.
I think he did a better job in the second half, but
I did not like the compete that I saw from him today. There were other guys who were, and like they have a lot more on the line, and so this is also important context.
Yeah,
guys who are here on ATOs, this might be the only time they ever get invited to a pro camp. They have to do absolutely everything. This is a first round pick who has already signed his ELC and already knows he's off to the OHL. He does, if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to go balls to the wall here because he just doesn't need to. But I still would like to see it. I would like to see a little more battle in him when they were doing the one-on-one on the wall and then cut to the center of the ice. He didn't win very much of those, and he just didn't. He didn't look as. Look, you're talking about a first round pick that is a big guy. And one of my issues with his selection was I didn't like how he used his size. And today I didn't like how he used his size.
I would give you that it wasn't consistent, but there were a couple times in the one-on-one like he absolutely torched some guys.
I wanted to see him exert the will and exert a little bit more physical dominance more than he did. And because it felt like if that initial push didn't get him there, he stopped working. And I didn't like that.
I'm gonna give him a little bit more credit than you did, I think. I agree with you in the first half of the group where they were doing the face off circle stuff. He was in cruise control for those. But I think in the second half he turned it up a little bit.
The credit that I will give him is that shot is nasty.
It is a good shot. It's good.
We were kind of like, he was kind of like lackadaisically throwing pucks at the net in the first half. And then the second half when they put a goalie in there, it was like he was challenged and he liked that. And I liked that he turned it up a notch when a goalie got in there, because he definitely did. And it looked good. It was encouraging. It was
I think he understands too. He uses his reach very, very well. He understands he's gonna just be longer than a lot of these dudes.
And I think that's something he's gotta get out of.
I think he can do it, but like you said, he has to lean into the physicality, right?
Yeah,
we saw him do it once or twice where he goes with the one hand to body.
Yeah.
And if he can do that, it'll work.
He looked uncomfortable doing it. And that's where I want to see him find a comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because if he does that, he's not going to be relying so much on his shot from the outside, which right. he can wire pucks. He can already do that well. He needs to understand how to put himself in more dangerous positions with puck protection. And given his size, he's a guy who should absolutely be a prime puck protector.
Yep.
He needs to eat some American cheeseburgers. He needs to get a big old butt, and he needs to turn that thing into the great butt of Olausen, where it's just a wall of humanity that does not allow other guys to get to the puck when he has it.
And his initials are OO, and those need to be butt cheeks.
Exactly. Exactly. Capital O's next to each other, not lowercase O's, capitals. They need to look like giant dinner plates next to each other. And he was just a little uncomfortable with that. And I think I want to see that develop.
Definitely.
And that was where it's like, hey, I want to see the tool is interesting. The size is interesting. This combination of stuff is interesting. 18 years old. He just got drafted. He's got time. Oh, this yeah. is exactly yeah. what he needs to be working on, though. Today was a good showcase of who he is and who he needs to be. And it's rare that you get to see that in a limited setting like this, where it's so obvious.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, this is very, very encouraging. I joked to you that I just liked the pick even yeah, more yeah, afterwards. Yeah,
right. Because he's so lengthy.
Totally kidding about it.
I know.
I genuinely probably feel better about it today after seeing him in person.
Yep.
Because I do. I mean, the shot I do really, really like.
I still don't think it's a 30 goal scorer shot, but it's good.
And this is where a lot of the Burakovsky stuff has started to come in, where it's like, oh, he's like Burakovsky. He can shoot it, but he's not super fit. Burakovsky's a very slick player with the puck.
Yeah. Dude can enter a zone too. And Olausen, that's hard to see that. Yeah.
We need to see some more of that. I don't think the shot is Burakovsky's level either, because Burakovsky can just pick spots.
This Bar is down a, or it doesn't count is Burakovsky.
Yeah. This is a guy who's got a good shot. It's lethal. It's a quick release. It's got some heft behind it. But as he gets stronger, this thing's going to get better.
It's and Olausen, like, it is a very good shot, but it was easily the fourth best shot of people here today. Newhook's better. Ranta's and Bocage's are significantly better than his shot.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I can't get over how much I liked Ranta today.
Yeah, he was of not Newhook. Like you said, he's probably the best of the dudes that are actually here as like legitimate full prospects. He was probably the best.
Yeah. He was the best all around, where you're like, this guy, you can easily see this guy as an impact player in the NHL when all of these things come together.
Yep. So yeah, I will give Olausen credit. I do think he was very engaged mentally today. He had a lot of dialogues with the coaches. There were a lot of back and forths going on there. So
this is the other thing that really helps it being there is you can see, and you and I were having the body language conversation immediately, because there was one player in particular that when the coaches were talking, he wasn't paying attention.
Yep.
And we were both like,
take a note. Scratch him off the list.
Yep. Like, we saw that shit.
And if we saw it, you know the Avs saw it.
Yep. Somebody asked what coaching staff is watching all of them. Basically the entire Eagles staff, as well as all of the developmental coaches, are out there.
Yep.
So I don't think, Kevin, I don't think Ranta has a realistic shot to make the opening night roster.
Not a barring catastrophe.
There are too many bodies, and there's still too much for him to gain from the AHL. But I think it's just it would take him having like you remember when Grigorenko led the NHL in goals in the preseason? I think it would take
went off
something like that, where he was just like, oh, okay. Well,
and if there's someone you're going to pump the brakes until you see them in games, it needs to be Ranta too.
Yes.
Based on the playoffs last year.
He is your perfect example of YouTube responsibly, but also dev camp responsibly.
Yep.
Because he is built to shine in this exact setting.
Yep.
So we'll see how he does throughout the week. He had a very good day, and I'm giving him full credit for that. Yep. The guy that I was really, really excited to see.
Really quickly, before the man that you were hyped on. We all agree that development is very important in every boy's life, right? There comes a day where a boy has to become a man. And once you become a man, there comes a day where your man needs to be scaped. This is just the natural growth of a human being, all right? So get on over to Manscaped and use code DNVR to get 20% off. Brought to you by the Manscaped Perfect Package 4.0. You can get the lawnmower trimmer as well as a bunch of other products to take care of, not just below the belt, but your entire body, breath mints, razors, all that kind of stuff. Hit them up. You can get free shipping if you get the Perfect Package 4.0 as well. So check them out. Go get yourself Manscaped, not just man.
You know, like, go get yourself Manscaped. Like, you're going to, like, ask somebody to do it.
Yep.
Like, oh, hey, while I'm here getting my hair cut, could you also clean up my junk for me? Thanks, Lucy. Like, no.
That's what the ladies do, right? They go get it waxed, so.
Okay.
I'm just saying, all right? Anyway, yeah, do that. Then get yourself some Strava Craft coffee, some CBD-infused coffee. Really helps with joint pain, migraines, stuff like that. You can get 25% off when you use code DNVR25 for your first purchase. You can also get it cold brew down at the DNVR bar. Go check that out. Also, be sure to hit up Chevalier Mortgage, both Mike and Virginia. Been doing it for 15 years here in Colorado. Buying a house right now is hard. You're going to need the help. So Mike and Virginia got you covered. They know the landscape. They can get you a great rate. And Mike is a certified financial planner. So it's not just here's the lowest rate you can get. Do it. It's let's look at your entire picture. Let's see what is the right fit for you and your finances. They really do a great job of looking at everything in your life to find the right home loan for you. So hit them up today at dnvrmortgage.com. You can get a free consultation as well as a chance to win some free DNVR merch. So jump on that. Michael Chevalier, NMLS 1931006. Virginia Chevalier, NMLS 1910631. All right. The man, the myth, the legend, AJ. Who are you hyped to see at Dev Camp?
I really wanted to see what Bocage did today because he is a guy that has gone under the prospect radar a little bit with Sampo Ranta kind of having the huge breakout last year.
Yep.
And then getting into games and all of that. I really wanted to see what Bocage looked like because he's a really intriguing. He's a right shot and he's 6'3". Although, as we were getting into today, does being 6'3 count as much when 3 of those inches are in your neck?
Yeah.
Like, if those extra 3 inches are in your legs or if they're in your midsection, like, those can be difference makers, right? That's a lot of size. But when it's all in your neck and you're just a awkward, like, giraffe creature, is it really that interesting? Like, he's functionally, Bocage is like 6 foot because all that extra height is just in his neck. Meaningless.
All right.
It doesn't give him anything.
It opens up the vision lanes. All right. He's looking over people. That's. But look, I'm going to be honest. I did not think Bocage had a very good day on the whole.
So there were two Bocages. There was, yes, the body shaming of long necks.
It is very much a Tyler Myers neck. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the body shaming of the long necks.
All right, Littlefoot.
Yeah, right. man, my feet are tiny too. Bocage. Yeah. There was consistently struggling every time that he had to run a drill on his backhand, Bocage. Mm-hmm. Pucks were popping out. The skating didn't look good. And like we've talked about this ad nauseum over the years with Bocage. It all comes down to the skating. Everything else, he's got decent physicality. He's got a great shot. How does he adjust in space? Will be one of those questions he has to answer. But the big thing was always the skating.
Yep.
I think the skating looks better than it used to. I still don't think it's quite good enough.
Yeah.
But the tale of two Bocages today. where on his backhand really badly struggled, just didn't look comfortable, clearly doesn't do it very much. And then they put him into the drills on the other side of the ice, where he's on his forehand the whole time.
He was immediately comfortable.
Yeah. All of a sudden, like, the skating doesn't look like a problem. He's receiving bullet passes from Newhook, like, yeah, just zipping in there, and he's taking them on the tape. No fumble, no anything, just clean reception and move on in. He's wiring pucks the way that we've seen and expect from him. Just looked very, very good when he was on his forehand. Backhand, you're like, holy crap, this was a third round pick. Are you for real right now? Forehand, oh, there it is.
Yeah. And then a laser beam of a shot, too, that he's always had. But
so how do you balance all of that?
Yeah.
What does all of that look like in a package together?
It's at the decent pro level?
We'll it's see. Intriguing. It was an okay day for him. Wasn't great. But it was okay. And kind of a what has always been true remains true for right now with Bokash.
The one thing that I struggled with Bokash today, and I'm not going as far as saying that it's like a compete level issue, because I don't think it is, but you did see him get outworked a few times today.
He is a guy that you've never really seen him gear it up.
Yeah.
And you don't, you wonder, like, is this a guy that he just doesn't have this gear? Because, like, there were some guys out there, you know, Kislyk and Matthew Boucher,
yeah,
that were just like straight getting after it at different points where they were working hard.
Yep.
And you always love to see that, right? You always love the high effort guys, even in camps, guys who know this is it for them. They have to do well here.
Yep.
And so they go all out. Bokash has never done that. I've never, in the couple of times, it hasn't been many because of the COVID stuff ruining a lot of
the opportunities there.
Yeah, a lot of the dev camp stuff over the last year, 2 years. The couple times I've seen him, I've never seen him get like that. I've never seen him really gear. We've seen it a couple of times in the queue,
where he kind of puts the team on his back sometimes. Yeah.
But we've never seen it in one of these camps when he's with a peer group and there are some guys who are clear cut better than him.
Yep.
And you don't see him elevate. You don't see him. You don't see a drop. He just kind of keeps doing his thing. So I don't know that it's disappointing. Like more, I would say more just like it's kind of interesting.
Sure.
That it just, I don't know that that's there. And I would love to see it in one of the games. Like if that dude just like randomly headbutted a guy and like tried to eat his heart or something, I'd be like, wow, awesome.
Yeah.
But until he either headbutts somebody or attempts to eat their heart, Last of the Mohican style, you know, I will still be kind of wanting to see him elevate the compete level a little bit. I want to see a little try hard. Is that so bad?
Me too. I think there's only really two names left worth really diving into mentioning here in group two. I want to talk about Sasha Mutala. I know you want to talk about Jack O'Brien. So,
I guess. I mean, I came in like Jack O'Brien, and we talked about this on our preview episode. Jack O'Brien was a guy that I was intrigued by and wanted to see. Nothing notable in terms of his size. He did some of the drills on par with Newhook in terms of how clean they were.
Yep.
And consistently too. It wasn't like he did it one time and then it was done. He was doing really well while a lot of guys around him were struggling.
Yep.
So of all of the
ATOs, I guess.
Yeah, of all of the non-NHL deal guys that you're familiar with.
he's probably the best of the forward group.
Yeah. I thought I liked him the most today.
Yep.
And you know, I always worry about that being confirmation bias just because he was a guy who I was most intrigued by going in. So I wanted to see him do well, and then he did do well. And so I wonder how much of mine is confirmation bias, but that Rudo also agrees with me makes me feel like it's not so much.
Yeah, and like, to your point, it's not like, if you take today as a whole, he wasn't particularly close to any of the top guys.
It wasn't like he did anything today that made me think they should really give him an ELC before he goes to the draft again.
It's not like that, he was solid. I liked fairly consistent too of those ATO guys. You didn't see him have quite as many biff it or make a critical mistake in the drill.
Basic foibles, basic, either a bad pass into someone's skates or just a fumbling.
The stuff that happens to everybody all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the little things that you just don't see the better players do, but you always see the fringe guys struggle with.
Yep.
He didn't really suffer any of that. The thing was, like, his shot wasn't particularly special. His skating doesn't stand out in any way.
What is the skill that gets him to the NHL? Yeah. That's the part that he's missing. Yeah.
Size-wise, there was not anything. Size-wise, there isn't anything special. There's nothing notable there. So you're not looking at a guy here where it was like, oh my gosh. It was an intriguing day. Again, common theme. Want to see him in some other situations? Want to see him in a game?
I would say fairly similar day for Sasha Mutala. The first half of his
more
day
name
was
recognition.
Yeah, the first half of Mutala's day was super up and down. Like
what drill?
It'd be
perfect,
and then the next one it'd be like crash and burn,
total disaster.
But the second half of his day, I think he came on strong quite a bit. You started to see his good shot. You started to see a little bit of a shiftiness. I know you tweeted about it. The one thing, it's like he's getting out muscled by Alex Newhook. We already talked about Newhook. Not one of the bigger dudes there today.
Yeah, and like getting out played, outworked, whatever, by Newhook is one thing, but to straight up get
out
muscled by him.
Yeah.
Is a concern because his strength was a major thing with him and his, like, he was a really good junior player who was a jack of all trades, easily the best player the Americans had.
Did everything for that team for sure.
Yeah, he was all of Tri-City's offense.
Basically,
for like 3 years.
Yeah.
They never got that guy any help.
Yeah.
And so it just was not, the strength has always been a big question mark. And then to see that crop up again, it was like, he just turned pro, so he's got time, but he's also on an AHL deal. Yeah. This is not a guy on a 3-year ELC.
Right. It's a very different situation. If he wants to carve out, even like, let's be realistic here, if he wants to carve out a legitimate AHL job for his foreseeable future, he needs to show up right away and do stuff this year to get teams interested in him.
Yep. And the concern, the lack of strength still.
Yeah.
Is probably going to force him to have to do something with the Grizzlies, predominantly with the Grizzlies.
I think so. I do want to see him in game situations. I do think there's a level of shiftiness that maybe he can find a way to be an effective player playing around the strength, but
that center ice drill where Newhook was trying to defend him.
Yeah.
And he just kept shaking him was like, this is some of the stuff that
you have to have. If you're not going to have really, the strength. Yeah.
Yeah. And you really like to see it because it's like, there you go. There you go. This is what makes you intriguing.
You can work with that. Exactly. Yep. So yeah.
I liked Mutala's day overall. The early
stuff,
I
would give it positive, but
the early stuff I was able to get over pretty quickly because I thought he had such a strong finish to the day that even getting out muscled by Newhook, I was just kind of like, well, Newhook's the shit. What can you do, right?
Yeah, right. Too. It's like, well, it's also Alex Newhook, so
yeah. Like, not gonna excel in that situation in muscling dudes off, but he's also Newhook, where you're like, Kid Fox.
Yeah. I don't think I can come up with a better way to end the show than that. So we're going to get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for watching, listening, consuming the podcast. We appreciate it so much. Be sure to like and subscribe to the video and the YouTube channel, by the way. That helps us out a ton. We will be back tomorrow and Tuesday with more Dev Camp stuff. Tuesday, we may do a late night show because the 3-on-3 is that evening.
Yep. Tomorrow's show will probably be late afternoon.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 after the afternoon group goes. Yeah.
Yeah, because the just want to double check the schedule. Yeah. If I can find it.
The Avs Dev Camp schedule is like all over the place.
Yeah. So they have 2 groups tomorrow that end at 12:30, kind of like today. And then they also have a full team practice that runs for 2 hours. It goes until 4:30.
Yeah.
So it probably, because it'll take us some time to get home in traffic and all that.
Like we'll, 6 o'clock or something. We'll
tentatively plan for a 6-ish type of pod. And then Tuesday and then
like
night,
9 or something. Yeah, on Tuesday. That will be
a late night, a later night.
The post game style, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. It will be a post game style. It'll be after a game.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So should be fun. Looking forward to actually getting to talk about some little active hockey here. And then after that, we have the rookie tournament to talk about as well. So
yeah,
we're vibing.
Yep. Very excited for all of that.
Should be a fun week. Hope you guys will keep tuning in. You know, we'll be here probably not Wednesday. We'll probably take Wednesday off since we have today's show, but
and yep, because that's when I'm driving to Arizona.
Yeah, AJ's got the long drive, so bye. Yeah, that's it for us. Appreciate y'all, and we will talk to all of you amazing people next time.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.